Good morning. Good morning. It's going really well. How about yourself? So that was me. Back when I drove buses. It looks like me. I woke up this morning and I was thankful to be here and thankful to be able to come here. And it just made me really think about the sacrifices that a lot of people have made. And when you go in and you go through basic training and they tell you that you're going to be out and you're going to be doing these things, I was in the Air Force, so I wasn't really worried about it. But when I went to basic training, they really made you feel like you were going out and you were doing these things, and there was always a possibility that you wouldn't come back. And I know that I made a decision when I was there that it was worth it, that if I never came back, that it was worth it. So we could have days like today, and we could be with people that are like-minded, that we could be with people who aren't like-minded, that everybody has this freedom. And it's so not free. And it's so not free. So I woke up this morning just thankful that we could just be here. And I woke up thankful for the people that serve every day and the people that come back and the people that don't. Because every time you deploy, part of you doesn't come back. So this weekend, I don't want you to be sad about that. I want you to be happy, because that's what they fight for. That's what they fight for, is this freedom that we have. And it's awesome and it's incredible that we get to barbecue. It's awesome and it's incredible that we get to be with family and friends. But there are some people that don't get to be this weekend. So just take a little bit of this time this weekend and just remember, it's those people that fight every day that give us this freedom. Welcome.
Stand with us.
Faith arrives in spite of what I see. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I choose to trust you no matter what I feel. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. For my champion's not dead, he is alive. And he already knows my every need. And surely he will come and rescue me. The God of miracles comes.
Supernatural love.
Cause you're the God of miracles. Yeah.
That song's really an appropriate song for Memorial Day. And the one following is going to be an even more appropriate song. That one talks about I surrender all. And there are definitely men who have surrendered all and women surrendered all in the military. And then this next song talks about that what Christ came to do. He came to take the sting of death away. And so one thing I say when I go to cemeteries, I started saying in the last year, I said, you know, we're in this cemetery and we're doing a funeral and closing out a graveside. I said, you see all these markers out here and you see all these inscriptions on the markers with names and dates, etc. I said, but the wonderful thing, nobody's out here. Nobody's really there. It's just a place to remember someone, but no one's there. They're with the Lord. And so I want to introduce you to Ricky Stevens. He is a retired colonel from the U.S. Army, served 33 and a half years. I told him this morning, that's what Jesus did, 33 and a half years. So, but Ricky's going to share some things with us.
Thank you, Baron. Uh-oh. Baron called me and asked me to do this. Said, can you put on your uniform? Well, I got it on and I got it buttoned, but then I couldn't breathe. So I don't know where he got that from. I guess Sharon sent it. I want to talk about what's going to happen tomorrow at the Veteran Memorial Park. 1966, the federal government declared Waterloo, New York, as the birthplace of Memorial Day. They did that on May the 5th of 1866. So tomorrow we celebrate the 150th celebration of Memorial Day. We entered World War I in 1917. At 11 o'clock tomorrow, we're going to rededicate the World War I monument located in Veterans Memorial Park across from the library. Spalding County and the city of Griffin will be correcting a mistake that was made close to 100 years ago. Miss Cindy Barton, who works as the archives for the city and the county, was doing some research on KIAs from wars past, and she came across a list of names. It had two columns on it. One said whites, the other said colored. She thought, let's go check the monument at Memorial Park. Sure enough, only the whites were listed. So to correct the problem, which we need to do, she's gone through and he came up with this 15 names that will be added, that have been added and will be dedicated tomorrow. 12 are black, 3 are white, 2 killed in action, 1 died of wounds, and 12 died of diseases, either overseas or after they came home. They will be added tomorrow, and this is the right thing to do. I hope that everybody will come. Now I know what tomorrow is to most people. Start of summer, holiday, picnic, a day off. But if you can't attend tomorrow, I ask that each of you and your families take a moment tomorrow and remember those who gave their lives that we may have what we have today. Also remember the families and friends of those that were lost and the ones who served today. Please try to come if you can. Let us pray. On this Memorial Day, we pause to reflect upon our blessings as a nation and the high cost of those blessings. We offer our prayers of thanks. Thank you for the freedoms we enjoy in this country. Thank you for those who have served in the armed forces of this country. Thank you for those who have given their lives in service to our country. Sacrificing is such a costly way for the sake of others, including me. We pray today that our families and friends of those who have given their lives in the service of this country. As we remember those who have given their lives in the past, we also think of the lives that are on the line today, protect them, encourage them, bring them home safely and soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
I'm going to read a little excerpt from a book I just finished. And it goes along with what Bjorn was talking about. This song is in regards to Christ and his suffering for us and resurrection on the cross. And it says, Surely our griefs himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. And yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and he by his scourging we are healed. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Amen.
Hallelujah, the Lamb is overcome.
sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. Righteous.
Keep my eyes above the waves. Take us deeper, to take us further, to take us longer, to take us wider, God. I thank you, Lord God, that we just surrender ourselves to you, our life, our dreams, all that we are, God. We surrender to you so we can go deeper. We can go out farther than we could ever imagine, God. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you, God, that we can trust you, that you are faithful, that you never, ever fail. We give you thanks, we give you praise, and we say, God, we love you, we trust you, and we honor you today. And everyone says, amen.
I reminded myself several years ago when the economy just really went bad, and we had a packed out house on Memorial Day weekend, and I had mixed emotions because I said to the congregation, I'm sure glad you're here, but just lets me know you don't have any money. You can't go off with, like other people on Memorial Day weekend. So looks like we had a lot of people got some money today and able to go and enjoy themselves. I want to share with you this morning eight verses of scripture out of Ephesians chapter 1. And as I was preparing this, I almost felt to call this eight verses that change the course of history. Eight verses that change the course of history. My dad, who's been gone 20 years this December, when he pastored, he read the book of Ephesians every week, Monday through Saturday, to prepare for Sunday. He read Ephesians 1 on Monday, 2 on Tuesday, 3 on Wednesday, 4 on Thursday, 5 on Friday, and 6 on Saturday. It had nothing to do necessarily with his message for that Sunday, but he felt that that one book was so filled with such wisdom that it would filter through any and every message that he'd ever speak. And I really adopted that into my life. He would drill into me when I was called into the ministry. He gave me a Bible, and I remember him handing it to me, and he said, if you'll just get this in you, if you'll get as much of this in your heart and in your life as you possibly can, you'll never have to worry about anything to say. It'll just always be flowing out. I remember Daddy could quote the book of Ephesians almost verse for verse, all six chapters, because he read it so often. And you're going to see this morning as we get into this three points and one concluding point of how awesome this book is. It will cause you to think the highest thoughts. It will cause you to, I like that verse and what it said in that last song we sang, Lord, take me deeper than I've ever been. This book will take you deeper than you've ever been. Matter of fact, Paul says, it not only take you deeper, it'll take you wider, it'll take you longer, and it'll take you higher. Because he says, I want you to know the love of God, the depth of it, the width of it, the length of it, how wide it is. I want you to know this love that passes knowledge. What kind of love is that? It passes knowledge. That means I love you regardless of the knowledge I have of you. How many know it's easy to love sometimes when you don't know certain things about somebody? Huh? Then somebody tells you something about somebody. And then your love's challenged. Oh, I didn't know that about that person. And all of a sudden, rumor mill starts. And all of a sudden, some people who really love somebody now being challenged. How am I going to look beyond that? Because Paul said this is a love that passes knowledge. It's a depth. It's a width. It's a length. It's a height that's way beyond anything you've ever known before. That's the love of God. And so Paul in Ephesians 1, chapter 3 says, all praise to God. Now I want you to give you this in the Greek. Let's celebrate. All praise to God. Let's celebrate the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Wow. Before God created the world, before God said, let the earth be the earth, before God said, let the light come, before God said, let this happen and this happen and this happen, before he ever created creation, he chose you. He chose you. He knew you before that because you were with him before that, and he chose you. Now, I just wrote this down. It would not be so wonderful if we chose him. Who wouldn't? It would not be so wonderful if we chose him. I was a kid coming up. We played ball. We didn't have computers and laptops. We played ball from 8 o'clock in the morning till dark. I mean, all day long we played ball. And when we did that, we'd all gather on the field and there'd be, you know, however many of us. And remember, Joy, we chose. We had two captains and then we chose. Well, I'll tell you, if you chose last, you didn't feel real good about that, did you, John? Playing baseball, you better choose me first. You know, you better choose me first. So it was not a big deal that we chose God. Who would not choose God? If you was going to play ball, would you choose God? But the wonder of it all is not that he chose us, that we chose him, but that he chose us. That's the wonder of it all. He chose us. Wow. Created us so that he could live in us and abide in us and be with us. And he said he chose us for two things, to be holy and without fault. I like another translation. Holy is about in every translation. He chose us to be holy. But he chose us to be blameless. How can that happen? Well, let me first of all define the word holy. Holy is the Greek word hagios. Say hagios. Hagios means different. That's all it means. He chose you to be different. I saw a post about Justin Timberlake, and a while back he got this award, and he was giving his speech, and Justin Timberlake said when he was in school, he was ridiculed. He was looked down upon, that he was told, you're different. You're different. And his mother said, you can never make a difference if you're not different. And he was so different that he's multi-millionaires different. So he didn't mind being different. God chose us to be in this world, but not of the world, that we do not look at people the way everybody else looks at people. We don't judge people the way a lot of other people judge people. We don't determine this or that about a person the way other people do. We don't respond to things the way everybody else responds to things. We don't react to things the way everybody else reacts to things. God called us to be different. He said, be in the world, but not of the world. I want you to be different. I want you to be different on the golf course. I want you to be different on the ball field. I want you to be different in the workplace. I want you to be different wherever you are. I want you to be different at Coca-Cola place. I want you to be different in whatever realm you're in. I want you to be, I don't want you to be like everybody else. I want you to be different. And that's the good thing about our faith is it makes us different. Matter of fact, Jesus said, you're going to be so different that people will hate you for being so different. You would be persecuted because you don't talk the way everybody else talks. You don't join in bashing others. You're different. And then he said, you are without fault. Without fault. And now, the key to that is you're without fault in him. But now, there is a positional stance that we stay in Christ, but there's an experiential stance that he wants to come out of our positional stance. See, position-wise, this is just doctrine 101 in all denominations. Position-wise, you are holy and without fault positionally in Christ. Never can change that because you belong to him. Now, experientially, I don't know about you, but experientially, there have been some times I have not been different. There have been some times when I have not been without fault. There's been some times when I have not been blameless. And so when I saw this word blameless, I began to study it out and look at some scriptures because there is a way to be without fault. There is a way to be experientially blameless. And it starts like this. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Now, when he says hold firmly to the word of life, now this is the word of life, but this is not the word of life he's saying to hold firmly to. The word of life he's saying to hold firmly to are the words for which you speak. Are you speaking words of life or are you not speaking words of life? And if you do that, he says, on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. And another translation says, so that you may be perfect and blameless children of God in a crooked and perverse world. That what's different about you is you hold a word of life in you and you speak words of life. In Matthew, this scripture used to scare me. I mean, the first time I ever, as a pastor, began to study this scripture, I was shaking. He says, I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. Every idle. That word idle is the Greek word ergon. And it means it produces nothing good. Because I thought, I even had heard preachers say that, and I grew up Pentecostal, and if you remember being Pentecostal at all, if you know anybody who's Pentecostal or holiness, we couldn't do a whole lot of anything. In fact, you couldn't even smile unless you really had something to smile about. And if you smiled too much and too often, they thought you were sinning. That there was something wrong with you. If you had fun, something had to be wrong in your life because you're not in this world to have fun. You're in this world. This is a terrible place you're in. And the only time you're ever going to be happy is when you get to heaven. That this is this is just a battleground down here, and it's all woe and ho down here. But you're not ever going to be happy till you get to heaven. And so you couldn't really show that any gladness because that's not what you're supposed to do. And so I heard preachers say, you can't, don't be cutting up and kidding, because those are idle words. I heard a preacher say, boy, I got in such guilt and conduct because I've always been a kidder. And so I'm thinking, I can't kid. I can't cut up with you. If I can't kid with you, I don't know how we can be together, because I'm a kidder. And so I realized that's not what it means. It means that do not speak words that will not bring fruit into somebody's life. If I can kid with you and make you laugh, that's fruit. Joy of the Lord, your strength. So if I can say something funny and make you laugh, then those are not idle words. Now here's what I want you to get the context of the scripture that Jesus spoke this. The Pharisees, most of that chapter's in red, Jesus responding to what the Pharisees said. And this is what he was responding to. The Pharisees came and they said this about Jesus. He is casting out demons by the power of Satan. He is casting out demons by the power of Satan. And so Jesus looks at the Pharisees and he starts saying stuff like this. Now, if Satan cast out Satan, and if a kingdom divided against itself, it won't stand. If a family is constantly feuding, that's what he says. If a family is constantly feuding, tearing down each other, it won't stand. It can't stand that. And so he says, you're saying that I'm casting out demons by the power of Satan. How can that be? Someone that has more power than him has to come to cast him out. Satan can't cast out Satan. Somebody more powerful has to come. And Jesus said, I'm the one more powerful who came to cast him out. And then he said, all sins are forgiven in this world except one. And some of you, because you weren't Pentecostal, you weren't scared to death with this scripture. You don't even know what I'm about to say. But I grew up Pentecostal, and it says all sins are forgiven except blaspheming the Holy Spirit. We as kids, if somebody got to shouting in church or started speaking in tongues, we didn't dare make fun. Because if we did, we are blaspheming. And if we're blaspheming, we're doomed for hell. And we can't be forgiven because we're making fun. And it was funny sometimes. And you couldn't help as a little boy to laugh at what you saw because some people reacted in some real strange ways. And you couldn't help but laugh. We was on High Falls Road one time and we was up and doing the praise and worship song, and a guy goes out to church, and we had the windows like this, and he did the Jericho march all by himself, and he was going around the church like this, and everybody was just watching him, and he kind of looked like an Indian. When he come by, he had this Indian dance he was doing all the way around, and he just kept running around the church for about, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe 7 times to get the walls to fall. I don't know, but it was funny. That was funny. You can't have a laugh about that. That's funny. If I guarantee you, if Brandon got up right now and ran around this church and we watched him go by every window, you all would look out there and go, what is Brandon doing? We would laugh. That would be funny. And so thank God that's not what it meant. It meant that if you say about another individual, especially Christ, the Holy Spirit's not in you, and you're not empowered by God, you can't be forgiven because you don't believe that God has the power to forgive. If you don't believe that God has the power to forgive, then you can't be forgiven. Ooh. If you don't believe that I've forgiven this man and this man, and this man, and this woman, this man. If you don't believe that, then you don't believe I can forgive you. And if you don't believe that I can forgive you, you can't be saved. You can't be saved. You can't be born. You can't have this wonderful
spiritual blessings in Christ. See, these blessings only come, they're spiritual, and they only come from heaven. The only way you can get them is from God. And so, look at Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 45. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of his evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. And one more scripture. In James, how can I be perfect? Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could control ourselves in every other way. Wow. We were predetermined by God for that. Second of all, it says you got a plan. And the plan is the next couple of verses. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. It gave him great pleasure to adopt us. So we praise God for this glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He adopted us. That's his plan. Adoption to us is not what it was back then. Adoption, children and wives were possessions. A man could get tired of his son, just give him up for adoption. Just somebody take this, I don't want to deal with this anymore. But when they were adopted, in the eyes of the law, he was a new person. All his debts and his obligations connected to his previous family were abolished, as if they never existed. And God adopted us. I used to say this, and one time I said it in front of Kelly Varner. I said, justification is just as if you never sinned. And Kelly, in his rough, gruff voice, says, oh, man of God, that's not true. And I said, Kelly, I've preached this all my life. Justification is just as if you never sin. Oh, no, man of God. Justification is you never sinned. Because you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame, how can you sin? Take me deeper than I've ever been. You want to go there with me? You're going. You're going. I've been adopted by God. I'm a child of God. I came from him. I've been in him. I was created in him. I was made in him. I was called in him. I was justified in him. I'm going to go back to him. And I cannot do anything but be pleasing to him because I belong to him. And he is in me and I am in him. And therefore, I am adopted by him. And everything that all the debts I owed, all the laws that were against me have been canceled out by the cross. And there stands nothing against me anymore. There was a time when the sons of God, the angels, the fallen angels could make their way into the throne room of heaven. There was a time when Satan could walk right up to God and say to God, how about Job down there? Do you know why he serves you? Because you've blessed him so much. He had that kind of access to the throne. And the Bible says in Job, in the first chapter, says, and the sons of God, which are the angels of God, the fallen and the good, were presenting themselves to the throne, to God. They tempted Job. Once Christ died on the cross, they were expelled from heaven, and they no longer have access to the throne room of God. Therefore, they can never make accusations against you because they don't have access. Well, hallelujah. Justified. never sin, because it never can get to heaven anymore. This is hot off the press. There's nobody to tell God about it. The rumor mill stopped. So you can't get to heaven anymore. So the evil can't go to heaven and accuse you because it can't get to God. Some of you ought to be shouting over that. Some of you ought to be going, whoa, I'm thinking about this week. I'm going, I hope God didn't see that. He didn't. Nobody told him. The accuser of the brethren has been cast down. He predetermined, and he has a plan for you. And his plan is to adopt you. And last of all, he has a purpose. In verse 7 and 8, he is so rich in grace and kindness that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Real quickly, three of the greatest concepts in Christian history. He purchased us. He paid the ransom for us. He did what we can't do for ourselves. You can't pay your own ransom. If you're held captive by somebody, you can't pay your own ransom. Somebody else has to pay it, and he paid it. He forgave us before we ever accepted it. He forgave us, and you ought to be really happy about this. He gave us wisdom and understanding. Gave us wisdom and understanding. And so, this is what that means. He predetermined plan. His predetermined plan and purpose was to bring us to the greatest goal of history. His predetermined plan and purpose was to bring us to the greatest goal in history. To our podcast audience and people who watch this, I just want you to know you are predetermined by God to have a great plan for your life, and you got a great purpose. No matter where you've been, no matter what's happened, all you have to do is accept that. Accept that.
If you have your connection card, make sure that you've got it filled out. If you're visiting with us, we'd love for you to fill it out and put an email address on there. If you're a member, please fill that out. And if there's any change of information, you can put that on there. And if you need to sign up for anything. If you're visiting, this is a free gift we have for you. They'll be on the information booth as you're walking out. Just grab one. There's a letter in there for you. Today is the fifth Sunday of the month, which happens four times a year. And Pastor Will failed to bring the alms box and sit it down front. And so on the last Sunday of each month is our special alms offering. But it sits every week right out there in that foyer. So as you're leaving today, if you want to give a special alms offering, we would appreciate that. A lot taking place this weekend. Saturday is our, I guess it's annual. We've done it several years anyway. Chicken queue and yard sale. So make sure that if we have about 25 tickets that have not been sold yet. Okay, our goal was to sell about 300 of these. And so if you have not purchased a ticket and would like to buy one, they're $8 each. Or if you're willing to take four or five of them to try to sell them this week, we would love to have them all sold before the weekend. If you're bringing items, and I hope that you are, otherwise the yard sale is going to be very fast. Tuesday through Thursday from 8:30 until 4, the office is open and you can bring stuff then. I have had one person to schedule a pickup at their home, and so if you have enough items that warrant a pickup, give me a call and we will get that scheduled for you this week, but we want you to bring those things. We need you here if you are planning on working. Several of you have signed up to work Friday night at 5 o'clock. That is when we will set it all up, get it all laid out. Those that come and work at 5 o'clock on Friday obviously get to yard sale that evening before everybody else does. So those that work get rewarded. So we'd love for you to come out for that. And then the yard sale is the very next morning. So make sure that you make plans for that and to do that. And do not forget that this Wednesday is the first Wednesday of the month. First Wednesdays are great around here. We have a very relaxed time of worship. Relaxed but passionate. It's Sunday mornings is awesome. How many of you enjoy Sunday mornings? Like what these guys do? Wednesday nights are really cool too. So you want to make sure that you're here. Pastor is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And so the youth will also be meeting. They will be meeting up there, and they will be talking about the gifts of the Spirit up there. So we want everyone to be involved. Let's pray and bless this offering. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come to your house. Lord, that we can bring our first fruits, our tithes, our offerings, our alms. Lord, that we can receive from you, and that, Lord, you impart to us. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand and let's worship.
Let faith arise. In spite of what I see, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief, I choose to trust you. No matter what I feel, let faith arise. Let faith arise. For my champion's not dead, he is alive. And he already knows my every need. Surely he will come and rescue me. God of miracles, come. And see the kingdom.